Who made David king? Goliath. When you knock down the biggest boy in the valley, you become king. People start singing songs about you, man. Why? Because you see, he went out with what he had. All he had was a slingshot to Goliath. But what Goliath couldn't see, or what the devil can't see about your dream, is the anointing that God has placed on your dream and the anointing that God has placed in you to fulfill that dream.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join John Copeland and special guest Jesse Duplantis for a look into ways to discover God's vision for you and how to implement a plan of action to accomplish all that He has for your life.
Hello and welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm John Copeland. I'm the son of Kenneth and Gloria Copeland and the CEO here at Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And I want to thank you for joining us on this Thursday. I tell you what, we've been talking about this week, about the vision. And I have a special guest here, Brother Jesse Duplantis.
Yes, sir. How you doing, sir?
Good. Hailing from South Louisiana. And I want to tell you, it's been a blessing to have him here because the things we've been covering on vision, on finding the plan of God for your life, I'm telling you, this is something that everybody needs.
Amen, 100%.
You hear, great men and women throughout, the world's. You hear about they're visionary that, right. That they can see things. Dad's a visionary, and dad's a visionary, but his vision is the vision that God gave
Amen.
Him.
That's right.
And then he's just followed it and walked Amen. It out. If he would have seen where we're at today, back 40 years ago when he started in the ministry, I don't think at that point he could have
right.
imagined this.
Right.
And I think that the vision. I think everybody has one. Everybody has some kind of a hope or
sure.
a dream inside their spirit that God's placed in them, but not everybody has tapped into it.
That's right.
And not everybody has actually taken steps to try to fulfill it. And you could go through 1,000 reasons why they haven't done
That's
it.
That's so true.
Through fear, through, they failed before, people told them they couldn't, whatever the reason that people hasn't fulfilled that or even nurtured or that still small voice,
Amen.
That dream that's inside them. That's what we've been talking about. That's what we want to help you with, is nurturing and developing that vision and that dream that God's given you.
John, vision, let me just say, you don't have to think it up. See, some people, that's the problem. That's why they get all frustrated and confused. They're trying to think up. God's already thought it up. And see, we're trying to think it up. No. First thing first, to possess your vision and to understand it, you must include, you have to include understanding yourself. See, the problem is with most people is they're trying to understand somebody else when they don't even understand themselves. You see what I'm saying? You got to know who you are, even though you don't have to think up your vision. God's already thought it up for you. But what you need to do is when you start looking at how meager you can do this, it's not going to work. But you see, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. A man told me the other day, he said, I've been knowing you for 30 years. You don't seem to struggle with trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not in crisis. I'm in Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I get up every morning with an idea, Lord Jesus, this may sound arrogant, pompous, egotistical. I said, Jesse, I look at myself when I'm shaved. I stayed at your mother's home last night and your father's home. We had some really great fellowship. But I got up this morning, I was shaving. I use electric razors. And I said, Jesse Duplantis, you can do all things. You can do anything. But are you willing to do something? I say that to myself. It's just all to me. Anything I want to do, but am I willing to step out by faith? But see, faith is not the finish line. It's the beginning line. So you need to run toward your destination. As I was shaving, I was thinking about King David. His destiny and his destination was Goliath. Goliath, biggest, cussing, screaming. Here's a 17-year-old pimple-faced kid, John. Not with a sword, not with javelin, a slingshot. And you can imagine what that giant said, you going to throw rocks at me? You going to throw rocks at me? Are you living in a dream world? But you see what? Who made David king? I always used to say, who made David king? Well, we know Samuel anointed him. We know that. But no, well, we know God made him. Yeah, we know that. But who made David king? Goliath. Mm-hmm. When you knock down the biggest boy in the valley, you become king. People start singing songs about you, man. Why? Because you see, he went out with what he had. All he had was a slingshot to Goliath. But what Goliath couldn't see, or what the devil can't see about your dream, is the anointing that God has placed on your dream and the anointing that God has placed in you to fulfill that dream. You see, we always just look at ourselves. So that's what I was saying. I can do anything. Are you willing to do something? See, people say, I'm going to just sit here and let God do it. You're going to starve to death. I had a kid tell me that one time, John, I like the fella out. I couldn't believe he said it. Because I don't preach that, but he said that. You know, Brother Jesse, I'm going to quit my job and live by faith. I said, boy, if your faith don't work with a job, what makes you think your faith going to work without a job? Boy, the spirit of stupid come upon you. You understand? Sometimes the spirit of stupid, I preached on that. The spirit of stupid will come upon people. No, you have to do something. But what you do is what God has already done. He said, be ye therefore doers of the word, not just hearers. How many people go to church every week for the last 50 years and heard something but never manifested it? I find that a lot of times people let the pastor read the Bible for them. They open that Bible when he says, open your Bible. And if you notice, they'll look down like that and they'll look up like this. And they go to other scripture. The pastor goes to other scripture, teacher, whatever. They don't go to them. They finish that sermon. They close that Bible, and they're not going to crack that book to the next week because it's come to them what I call a day of obligation. Sunday, it's time to go to church. You're not going to grow like that. Your dream's not going to come to pass. Your vision's not going to come. You're never going to be fulfilled, yet you're sitting in a supermarket of spiritual nutrition. I mean, you could just be whatever you want to be and all this great spiritual food, and yet you refuse to take the fork and the knife and go into the bowl and get it. Complacency. I tell people this. If the devil would leave people alone, John, most people go to hell by themselves. They just go to hell because of complacency. Well, I don't want to do this. And I don't want to do that. That's laziness. You know, one thing I love about technology, I love the internet and I love the website, but sometimes it irritates me. And I'll tell you why. And some of y'all, I believe I'm saying this because some of y'all are listening to this right now. Some of you, God said, forsake not the assembling of yourself. I had a guy tell me that, you know, Brother Joseph, I'll watch you faithfully. I said, so you don't go to church? I said, no, you watch me faithfully every Sunday morning. Yeah. I said, so you don't go to church? Well, you know, he said, you're my church. No, I'm not your church. I am an appetizer. I am an hors d'oeuvre. You need to get up and go get some beans and rice. Or like I said, we're in Texas. Some barbecue and some stuff like that. In other words, forsake not the assembling of yourself. Thank God for the internet. Thank God for the website. But that's not designed for you to lay up in your pajamas, to stay in a bed and not become a part of a local work. Because if you can't save your local community, how are you ever going to save the world, John? I made my mind up. I said, if I can't change people where I'm living, how can I believe that I can change people in Africa or change people in India, whatever? And that's what we're talking about today, is running toward your destination. What I love about this vision is what made David's vision become king. He ran toward the giant. Yeah. He wasn't going, man, I don't know. He ran toward him. But he knew something. He didn't believe something. He said, and he did not deny what he said. He said what he saw. He said, you got sword, knife, spear, whatever. But I come to you with what I have. I come with the name of Jehovah, the God Jehovah. Now, you know what's amazing? All the people that are supposed to be believing this stuff is stuck in the tent, flat scared. Notice the people in the tent wanting to wear their armor. And he says, I haven't proven these things. In other words, they don't fit me. If the suit don't fit, it's not yours. You understand what I'm saying? He went out with God and with a faith, and he went out running. I love that when somebody's willing to get up and run. I hired a man not too long ago. He said, Brother Jesse, I don't know how to do it, but I promise you I'll give you the best job I can do. And he jumped up and ran. Oh, he's becoming a phenomenal employee because he was willing to apply himself. And I told him, you know, if you make a mistake, that's okay. Just learn from it. Oral Roberts told me something years ago, John. I have to say this. That really shocked me, and I've never forgotten it. And Chancellor Roberts, if you're listening today, we just love you and appreciate you. Well, I was sitting with him talking. He said, you know Jesse Duplantis? He said, I've never made a mistake. And I said to myself, He said, I guess you would like for me to explain that. I said, if you would. He said, and I love this. It was so wonderful. He said, I never got up in the morning and said, today, I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to blow this baby. He said, now, I got up in the morning and a lot of things I did turned into mistakes. But I never got up in the morning and purposely said that I'm going to make a mistake. I love that. You see, because you see what, yeah, you may do something that turns into mistakes. As you said, you learn from them, you profit from them, then you go on. And the best thing you need to do is to forget it. Because if you carry that with you, you know, and Pentecostals are bad about carrying burdens. They just love to carry burdens. I got a burden. What for? Casting all your care upon the Lord. I know he said that, but. Now, that's your problem, man. You know, that's your problem. You got a conjunction where a conjunction should not be. When I saw David run toward that giant, I saw myself. Now, I'm going to put me in David's shoes. I saw myself run toward my giant or toward my vision. It was bigger than I could understand. Like you said earlier, if your father would have seen what this ministry is doing today way back when, it would have blew him away. But you know what? He was willing to get up and run toward it. Think about that. You know, I've thought about that. And I love Brother Copeland. Think about the preached prosperity and the whole world against you about it. I'm telling you what, God gives him a revelation. He didn't blink. He started preaching the laws. He didn't just preach prosperity. There are laws to these things. There are conditions and preconditions and certain things that you have to do. And guess what? Here comes the persecution like you've never seen before in your life. In fact, I wanted to fight for your dad sometimes. You know, because your dad said, we just got to love him. I said, well, let's love him. Let's hit him first, and then we'll love him later. You know, no, you can't do that. You know. And then he said, the Bible said, bless those that curse you. But that is not easy to do. Now, that's a giant you need to run toward.
So how does somebody in their, you know, they're developing their vision. Mm-hmm. And so how do they run towards that thing that God's given them?
Very simple. Don't listen to all the people behind you telling you not to go. Number one, you know God said you're going to face this situation anyway. It makes no difference. You got a bunch of people behind you saying you have to have this on. You've got to do this. They try to clean the fish before they catch it. Man, you can't gut no fish when he's swimming. You got to catch that fish. You see, I do. I immediately close my ears off to people that are behind me saying, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this, you're going to die, you're not going to make it, you're going to be a failure. You know, and they come up with all these adjectives describing me, and that's none of me. I'm a success going somewhere to succeed. That's what you are, ladies and gentlemen. I feel that so strong in the Holy Ghost. You are a success going somewhere to succeed. You are a sick person about ready to get healed. You are a lost person about ready to get saved. You are a broke, busted, disgusted, discouraged person about ready to get blessed financially. But if you keep listening to them because they broke, busted, disgusted, discouraged, diseased, you're trying to get away from that. You understand what I'm saying? The hospital is not for you. That ain't for you. So what you do is get up and say, I don't have many tools in life. And he didn't have many tools, but I do have God. And brother, when you and God are not a minority, that's a majority, John. Mm-hmm. That's a majority. And that's what you do. You quit listening to what they said and start listening to what God said. Pretty simple. I think the key to everything in life as a Christian is the simple word obedience. Prosperity to me is not a money message. A lot of people preach it as such. And your dad doesn't preach prosperity as a money message. Your dad preaches prosperity as an obedience message. It's called the Eden blessing. I love that. Be fruitful, always producing. Multiply, always increasing. Replenish. In other words, you're going to use it up, fill it, then refill it. Then God used a word, John, that he should not have used in a perfect society. He used the word subdue. Subdue what? What God was telling Adam and Eve, snake coming. You understand? Put the boy down. Shut him down. In other words, control your environment or your environment will control you. That's what David did. He controlled the environment out on that battlefield out there. That's why he ran toward that giant. Most people have been running from the giant, right?
Yeah.
But let me tell you, the giant didn't back up. Your devil's not going to back up. You understand what I'm saying? He's going to come towards you. But you got the Holy Ghost. You got God Almighty in your tools. And all you've got to do is, having done all the stand, and he starts swinging. Now, I want to tell you something. Just because you killed the giant, that's not the finished job. You have got to go over there and not only take him out, but show the world how to get ahead in life. That's exactly what little David did. He cut that boy's head off and showed him. Now, I might sound kind of gross, but in those days, that showed total superiority over your enemy. And from that day forward, God used Goliath to make him king. And everybody knew it. And Saul got mad about it. Now, people say, well, how can my, with all that power, how can my dream be delayed? That's a great question. I had to ask the question and answer the question. Do you know that Saul stood on and governed on David's throne for 20 years? God rent the kingdom from Saul through Samuel. That kingdom belonged to David, but he didn't get it for 20 years. I didn't get my plane for 16, but that didn't stop David. He kept standing on the word. He encouraged himself.
All this time, Saul trying to kill him.
Trying to kill him.
On the run, hiding.
Constantly.
He never got off of what, he just kept doing what God told him to do.
And you know what? You have to encourage yourself. Can I give you a secret that I do, Jason? I encourage myself quite often. It may sound stupid. Kathy can hear me. I'm in front of Mary Jessica the plans. Let me tell you who you are. Greater is he was in you than he was in the world. Did you hear that? No, I think you're going to hear it again. I'm going to say it again. Greater is he was in you. If God be for you. Man, I've preached my own revival to myself. You know what I'm saying? And by the time I walked out of that bathroom, just from, you know, shaving, brushing teeth, doing whatever it takes, you know, for the normal thing to get ready to go to work, I had encouraged myself. And I thought, man. I breathe that encouragement, which is the oxygen of the soul. And then when you believe in yourself and you believe in God, you are a dangerous individual. See, because now you got two, and all of a sudden now, destination, you can see it. Destiny, it don't just happen. You make destiny. It's not just fate. You know, they told me at the time of this television taping, I'm going to be 60 years old in 3 months. Now, according to my family, and according to every doctor, I should have been dead a long time ago because cancer runs in my family, diabetes, heart trouble. I mean, both of my brothers are totally disabled from heart trouble. Cancer's killed everybody on my mother, just about everybody on my mother's side. Heart trouble's killed just about everybody on my father's side. Yet I've never had a heart attack. You know, and I'm not going to say I'm going to have one. I'm not believing God not to have one. I try to do the best I can. And those kinds of things. But what happened was Dr. Cherry said, Jesse, you broke the curse. Now, if you look at my genealogy, You see, that's those voices. Well, you know, the genes are in his family. Well, I don't wear them genes. I get my own genes. I'm genetically linked up with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I'm saying was, I have a destiny and a destination. Now, people say, I'm not believing that. People say, if I would die today, they say, you see, that stuff doesn't work. Yes, it did work for me all the way up to that point. And even after death, because you can't kill a Christian. They come back. I feel strongly say this right now. If you've lost a loved one and they're born again, let me tell you something. Shout, man. They're coming back in that same body that the devil thought he destroyed. And the devil going to say, didn't we kill that guy with cancer? No, I'm back. Think about that. But that body's glorified. Now, that's something you can believe for, you know, and I decided, and Kathy's, my wife's one to help me with it. She says, I'm not going to let you say what the family says. Why? Because I want you here. And I went through my 30s and my father, my two brothers all had major heart attacks in their 30s. I mean, but you know, and I'm not bragging on myself. What I'm saying is the Bible, the word of God, I couldn't do what God called me to do if I was sick. I had to fulfill the word and fulfill the dream. You have to fulfill your destiny, get to your destination, and fulfill your dream. And I'm going to tell you something else. As soon as that one's fulfilled, God's got another one waiting for you. He's constantly producing.
You know, I was asking Mom and Dad, I had heard a speaker one time who had been here speaking to the staff, and he was talking about, you know, you need a one-year plan, a five-year plan, a 30-year plan for your business, for your ministry. And, you know, I was new to the CEO position at that time. And so I was feeling like, well, yeah, that sounds right. You know, I need to have it. And you should plan. But plans change.
Oh, you better know. Time.
So I went to Mom and Dad and I said, you know, he said that we need a one-year plan, a five-year plan, a 15-year plan, a 30-year plan. And they said, John, they said all we have done, and at this time it was about 30 years in ministry, all we do is we listen to God's voice and we do what he says. And they haven't had those 10-year, 20-year, 30-year plans. They didn't see this from back then when they started 40 years ago. And so what they did was they took the next step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, David's was out there watching the sheep.
Right.
You know, he killed the bear. He killed the lion.
Right.
He didn't go there to kill Goliath.
No, indeed.
He was taking food to his brothers.
That's right.
He was taking food to his brothers. But as he got there, he did the next step, which didn't seem like a big step, right?
Right.
Taking food to my brothers. Then while he was there, then his mission changed. The vision that God gave him changed. And his next step was taking out Goliath.
His dream manifested.
His dream manifested.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And so what we have to do is we have to be able to go from step to step to step, just like mom and dad have done here mm-hmm. in the ministry.
Amen.
You know, the Lord told them to go on the radio. Then he told them to go on television. And then he told them to go on daily television. And each one was impossible.
Oh, yes.
Each one was, we don't know how to do that. We can't do that. But at some point, you know, they take that next step that they know to do.
That's right.
And then God gives them the next step and the next step. And as long as you keep listening and running toward your destination, and that destination, all of it that you can see just may be from here to there.
That's right.
But the ultimate destination's way out there, but you don't even see that
right.
yet.
Right.
So what you have to do is you have to run to that next destination, which may be killing the bear or killing the lion, but eventually that destination is king.
You better know it.
And so, you know, when you say run to your destination, you have to run to the next step.
Amen.
You have to, if God tells you to do something,
Amen.
No matter big or small it may seem,
right.
you go to that next step, whether it's just taking food to your brothers, but then you eventually become king because of that action.
Well, John, when he took food to his brothers, he found the cause of his life. Now, you got to remember, the loudest voice will always be the devil. Hey, he's howling, cursing. And God's a still small voice. And then David said, is there not a cause? And what was that cause? That cause was his cause. That cause was his dream to magnify the nation of Israel, to magnify the army of Israel. He did it, ladies and gentlemen, and he did it with nothing, with what people would say was foolishness. But the preaching of the word, it confounds people. It's the foolishness of preaching that Bible said confounds the wise. So when you understand what John is saying, step by step, remember this, if you're in your car and you're driving somewhere, the only thing you can see is the end of your hood. Until you get to your destination, you know, it just keeps changing. You know, you just keep looking. All of a sudden you see the sign that says, this is where I'm supposed to be. Ladies and gentlemen, there's signs all over your road of life. And if you read every one of them, glory to God, and just keep going forward, forget those things which are behind. Reach out to those things which are before. What did Paul said? I press, which means it's not easy. I press toward the mark for a prize. And you can have a little prize of the high calling. You want to get as high as you can get. I tell people, if you go to the top, bring other people with you. Because it's lonely at the top. So bring other people with you. And then everybody gets to the top. And then you're looking down at the devil instead of them looking down at you.
Well, that's good, Brother Jesse.
Thank you.
Well, I'll tell you, I hope that you're taking this in, and I hope that you're making steps, taking notes. If you miss any of these, you can go back and you can watch them online. Over and over.
Amen.
And, you know, any broadcast you've seen on television here, you can go back and you can watch it online. And so you should do that. You should get these things and watch them over and over till that vision becomes so strong in you that it cannot be denied. Don't go anywhere, and we'll be right back.
Does it seem like your life is passing you by? Have you lost your passion for life? Are you unsure of your destiny and purpose? We all have a special calling on our lives. We're all here for a reason. We all have a purpose. In the newest release from Jesse Duplantis, The Everyday Visionary, you can find purpose for your life, realize your potential, and start living now. With practical principles, Jesse explains how to get your vision from God, how to move that vision to reality, and why it is so important to make every day count towards something good. God desires for you to live an active and fulfilled life. We're not here to just exist, but to do well, live happy, and to make a difference for God. You can find your purpose and make it a reality today. Be courageous, step out, focus your thoughts, and change your life. Order your copy of Jesse Duplantis' new book, The Everyday Visionary, today for only $16. For faster delivery, order on our website at kcm.org. To order by phone, call toll-free 800-575-4455. Or you may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Learn how to become an everyday visionary and fulfill God's plan for your life. Order your copy today.
Jesse has a new book out called The Everyday Visionary, and it's a book that you should get. You know what? God is never late, and he's never the problem.
That's right.
Each day, you need to seek God, and he will reveal his plan for your life. This book is for today. It touches on subjects that are relevant for today. When you do what this book says, it will give you the desire to pursue God more. You need to order your book today. Amen. It will change your life. You get it. You put it to use.
Amen.
And, you know, you have to take steps. If you want something different in your life from what it's been, right, then you have to do something different.
That's right.
To receive something different.
Amen.
So, you know, if you keep doing the same old thing, it's not going to change. So I would encourage you to step out, get this book, go through Amen. It, and you'll see some difference in your life when you put that to action. The blessing in action. The Copeland Family Meetings. This is something that we're doing new. And, you know, we have the next generation of Copelands coming
yes,
up, Brother
hallelujah.
Jesse. And we want to help mom and dad in the
sure.
vision and, you know, the things that we've been taught for years of following and being under mom and dad's teaching. Well, we want to share that with you. We've got Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons, George and Terry Pearsons, Kelly and Steve Swisher, and my wife, Marty. We're going to be doing these meetings. We've got two scheduled right now. We've got the first one is going to be Milwaukee, August 27th through the 29th. Need to come to that meeting if
Amen.
You're anywhere around there. And the next one is going to be December 3rd through the 5th, Kissimmee, Florida. It's right there near Orlando. You need to get in those meetings. We'd love to have you there. You know, we wanted to reach out to our partners.
Amen.
We wanted to make a connection with them. I think the format of the meeting is going to be really fun. You know, it's going to be different than
sure.
some of the conventions that we've done. It's, you know, younger, different crowd, so we're going to have a little different music and everything.
Excitement.
So please come. So this is John and Jesse, and we're reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To purchase a copy of this week's broadcasts on DVD or CD, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Are you tempted to walk in fear because of today's uncertain times? God's plan for you does not include fear. Help is coming your way. Kenneth and Gloria Copeland are sending their family to help you. Come to the Copeland Family Meetings with George and Terry Pearsons, Steve and Kelly Swisher, John and Marty Copeland, and Jeremy and Sarah Pearsons. The first one will be in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, August 27th through 29th at the Midwest Airlines Arena. Then later in the year, they're headed to Orlando, Florida, December 3rd through 5th for another meeting at the Gaylord Palms Resort and Convention Center. Generations of powerful ministry will share God's word to bolster your faith. Come be refreshed, renewed, and healed. Get into the blessing in action. 3 days, 6 services, 1 divine appointment. Don't miss the Copeland Family Meetings, August 27th through 29th and December 3rd through 5th. Admission is free. For more information, go to kcm.org. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
You don't have to get under pressure.
Amen.
About the plan of God for your life.
That's good.
One thing God is not, he is not pressure. And so when you start feeling pressure, whether it's from fear or whatever, that's not God.